Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 408th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is offering you a chance to win $15 million in prizes with Best Ball Mania 4. Use promo code SGPN at Underdog Fantasy for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. And finally, we're brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code SGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on any college football bet, only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP.
Hi-ho, DeGenerinos. Welcome to episode 408 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That means 8 episodes since my co-host almost died. That's how I judge time going forward. It's how many episodes since Gumby almost died. But he's not dead. He's alive and with us today for UFC Paris. I am one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. Thank you for coming to the show. UFC Paris, it's been a card in flux, to put it lightly. I don't know how to say that in French. My French is pretty weak right now since I haven't taken it for too long. 20 years? We'll say 20 years. But yeah, it is a card in flux. We've had people dropping out, matches getting juggled around, musical chairs. But we still got 11 fights. I think 11 fights we're going to break down for you today. Actually, not today. Today is just the prelims. We're going to break down 6 prelim fights. Then tomorrow it will be the 5 main card fights. So, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about last night's Dana White Contender Series, because this episode is dedicated to Yanni, our favorite guy, Yanni the Greek, because fade Yanni is back to being a smart move. He had a weird run there where fading him was not the way to go, but now, as of last night, it is the way to go. And it became especially clear when he did what I joked he would do, and he took the over in the sloppy heavyweight fight. So with all that and more, we shall discuss it with the self-proclaimed Gumby God. I don't know if he still wants to go by that name or not. It's Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
I am having a little bit rougher of a season, although I will say, the knockout from Praches to end the night last night did get me back to even. So not a beautiful night, but we hit the underdog in Kamba, which, you know, close fight, but the underdog hit in Kamba. And we got the Praches KO, right? And I'll say this, maybe the picks were a little bit subpar this week, but the breakdowns were all there. Salvador looked like the sharper, faster of the two strikers, and for some reason just got overwhelmed and blitzed by the bigger, heavier striker. You know, I said that I thought my boy Cole, or Chandler Cole, was worth a roll of the dice. I still kind of think he was. He looked like the better of the two guy on the feet. I am a little bit bummed out that his wrestling defense didn't hold up at all. But definitely worth the 5.5, the one play there. And then who was the other one we missed? Just one more. Why am I not remembering? Oh, the kickboxer who tired out in the second round. Yeah, I still think he's the better kickboxer and did better in the first round. And then he was just, and even stuff takedowns, like I thought he would working with Glover Teixeira. And then by the third round, he was so pooped that he just like laid flat on his back for a whole round. So not the best finish the world 2-3. But if with the, I didn't finish even if you bet the same amount of money on all of the fights. That's a crazy way to live your life. But also, if you were following along in the Discord, the big KO prop on Prachis was a huge lifesaver for people who tailed along. So altogether, kind of fun fights. I'm glad Dana White's passing on people who actually deserve to be passed on this time.
But that being said, can you imagine watching that heavyweight fight and being like, I have to sign one of these two. I'm only going to sign three people this week, but I, one of these, whoever wins this heavyweight fight, I have to get him in our ranks.
Yeah. I have to say,
Thomas Peterson, I need you.
I have to say, moving forward, Thomas Peterson is a fade. I'm pretty sure I would pick Paulo Fado ahead of him.
Oh, he's the benchmark right now. The low water mark. The men.
Well, I think Machado is much more skilled. Ultimately, he just like wasn't more entertaining that night. But I think he would beat Thomas Peterson. So I'll take that as a point I'm going to make. They're not going to put two contender series guys up against one another. They're going to feed them to the Alexio Lennox of the world, most likely.
He's still around. He hasn't retired yet.
I mean, it depends on who you ask. I mean, maybe Ilir Latifi, is he still around?
He's the new breed Alexi Olenek. If Alexi Olenek has retired, Ilir Latifi's around. I don't know if either of them are around, but you just mean the generic.
I mean that guy. Yeah. So those guys will get somebody like that out the gate, or whoever the new Jared Vandera is now that he's left the UFC, dropped to 205, and been knocked out again. So whoever the new Jared Vandera is.
The best part of the night, though, and my biggest bone to pick from the show is Yanni's favorite props that he gives out after the fights are over. And he
predatory gambling shit.
Yes. not the props he gave out before, because he just gives out bullshit over under props before. He's like, if you had taken this, you would have won that. If you had taken this, you would have won that. But you didn't tell us to take any of those, Yanni.
Yeah, nobody did. Yeah, it's like,
exactly.
And $100 would have paid $36,000. And it's like, yeah, of course they would if you go through and cherry pick with a time machine, dude.
Oh, like, God, it's so bad.
But that's why, and look, like, we're here for responsible gambling, right? Like, that's why we talk on this show like this. But, like, that's why people go nuts over these giant parlays, is because you see a tweet out there that says somebody hit $1 billion to 1, you know, they laid 50 cents on a 15 different guys score the first hoop in basketball that day. And it winds up paying 1.1 million or something like that. And like, when you see stuff like that, that's why people cook up crazy parlays that never hit. You got to contextualize that stuff. You got to say like, hey, this is for fun and worth a little dabble. You can't be saying like, oh man, this is what hits on a national broadcast on ESPN.
Yeah. Like I said, in the Discord, if you had all the power bar numbers, right, you would have won the lottery as well. So like, how is that, useful information after the fact? How about you make some picks and winners, Yanni? How about you actually know about these fighters if you're going to be on the UFC broadcast? I guess that's the UFC's way though. None of
the not save, knowing
save a couple don't know anything about what they're talking about.
The not knowing about fighters is just like, it's egregious to me, because like, look, the trend of what bantamweights do, you're like, oh, you know, bantamweights, a bantamweight fight ends in submission only 20% of the time. But if you're watching an Aljamain Sterling fight, it's not 20% of the time.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or like, you know, saying a heavyweight fight ends in knockout, you know, 99% of the time or whatever it is. And then you've got, you know, Jared Vandera and Chase Sherman standing in front of you. And you're like, yeah, nobody's getting knocked out in this fight. You know, like, you got to know the people. And hey, guess what? Luckily, you have a couple of guys here, at least one, who happens to know a lot. Hey,
me.
No,
me.
I'm not knocking on your abilities to pick or knowledge here, but I am saying, I bet you had to work a little harder on this card than you usually
do. I did tape, as you and Turnip like to say, I did tape work on some of these people.
I knew you would have to, otherwise you would just be like, I'm telling you.
Well, my resume picks on Contender Series are now 12-7, and I'm up almost $400. So take that. All right.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have done tape for these fights.
I don't know. I did see some interesting things that I think the tape more more confirmed what I was leaning towards anyway, which is nice. Or maybe I was being biased. That's the thing when you watch things. Maybe I was just looking for things that would confirm what I was hoping. So who knows? We'll find out that come Saturday night.
That's a dangerous animal. For sure.
It is. What isn't dangerous is DraftKings. Well, I guess it could be, but you people are responsible. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. That means right away. Anything can happen in college football. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from DraftKings Sportsbook. Do you know anything about college football? Do you have a pick to give people, Dan?
You know, I don't know anything about college football. I could tell you a lot about pro football. I don't know a lot about college football. I will tell you, back when I was a college football guy, or maybe just in the era where I watched every single sport, so I could at least vaguely talk about college football in a way that seemed meaningful. I was always a big Michigan guy. And then Tom Brady came from there, and it made me feel like I hated him a little more. So I know Michigan is opening with East Carolina, and they're 36-point favorites. So I'll take Michigan to cover that.
No Jim Harbaugh, though. He's not coaching that game. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think he'll matter against Eastern Carolina University.
All right. There you go. There's your pick. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code SGP. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 in college football. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SGP. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms. Okay. Let's do this. Let's break into some winning picks. Now that we've told you how bad everybody else is, we're going to tell you how good we are at breaking down fights. We're not going to give you winning picks after the fact. This is UFC Fight Night. Gane versus Spivak is going down this weekend. Actually, we discussed this last episode, right? It's a noon start time.
It's actually been pushed back to 12:30 because of the fight cancellation. So for anybody who didn't follow along with the crazy fight cancellation, so William Gomi was supposed to fight Lucas Almeida. Taylor Lopolis was supposed to fight Muin Gafurov. Gafurov and Almeida both dropped out of their fights, and that was an 145-pounder and 135-pounder. Now, you'd think, like, maybe they'll just make Lopolis go up and fight Gomi. No. That would have been way too easy. Instead, they broke up the Giannis Gamori fight and the Cal Lauren fight, and they're making Cal Lauren fight Taylor Lopolis at 35, which is his natural weight, and Gamori has got to go up to fight Gomi. Apparently, he was maybe having trouble with his weight cut anyway, so it was like somewhat agreeable, but he's going up a weight class to fight Gomi. And so we broke apart the Lauren Gamori fight and gave each of the other two new opponents, and therefore, instead of that being three fights, it's now only two, pushing the start time half an hour later.
There you go. Gumby did my work for me. Yeah, it's easy for us on the outside saying, oh, why didn't they do this? But there's so many personalities that they're dealing with here, managers, who knows? The wrenches that were thrown into it. Actually, they're in Europe. I'll say the spanners that were thrown into the works. But nonetheless, we have 11 fights. We're going to break down six prelims, 11:30 a.m. Eastern, ESPN Plus. And I have been informed by Aaron Bronstetter, who, did you know I was one of his first editors when he got into this business, Dan?
Okay. I did not know that, but yeah. I like your connection to E. Spencer Kite better.
Yes. Yep. I edited him for a old defunct Canadian basketball site. But anyhow, he works at TSN now, and he says it is not on TSN, this event. It is on just streaming. So it will be UFC Fight Pass for us Canadiens. And we're going to start with women's bantamweights. We got a couple of women's bantamweights right at the gate here. This one is, tell me if I do any of them out of order, because if you have a better order, fine.
I'm working with Tapology. You working with Tapology?
Actually, maybe I will. You're right. One second.
You should open Tapology, because that's when my main man Marcel Dorf has it at. He's got the same order as Tapology, and that generally means it's correct.
Yep. All right. Now, this is not women's bantamweight. Excuse me. It's a catchweight fight, 140 pounds. Apparently, this was the plan all along because there's a late notice fighter in here. That would be Jacqueline Cavalcanti. She's fighting against Zara Fern. You can call her Zara Fern Dos Santos as well, but we're going to go with Fern because it's shorter. And I'm going to tell you about her first. Her name and her nickname is Infinite. Makes sense because she has a very long name. And her losing streak currently is Infinite as well. Right? Right.
It is in the UFC.
It is in the UFC. True. All right. Gumby's not giving me much today, but I'm going to work through it anyhow. I'm looking for laughs. You're going to make me work harder for him, right?
Correct.
Correct. That's my line. All right. Let's break down Farron. 6-5. With 4 knockouts. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-3 in the UFC. There's that losing streak we were speaking of. He's not won a fight since December of 2017. Did you even have any kids then? You had no kids, did you?
December of 20. No, no kids. I'd only been married for a few months. Yeah.
That's when you could watch every sport if you chose to. There you go.
I still do that.
Oh, there you go. You come out and admitted it. Farron has missed weight before at bantamweight. She used to fight up at featherweight, was a regional champion 2013 pro MMA debut, +300 against the short notice newcomer. Not much love for Farron here. Cavalcanti is 5-1 with 3 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. As I said, this is her short notice debut, which normally sets off alarm bells. She's won 3 straight fights, is the current LFA champion. I guess she has relinquished that belt now. Was a regional champ as well. 0-1 in PFL. That's where her one loss came from. Used to fight up at featherweight. Inch taller than Farron, 14 years younger. My data says 5 years or younger, fighter wins 64% of the time. This year it's 68%. So the youngsters are taking over. This one is 14, almost 3 times that gap, 14 years age gap between the two. And Cavalcanti is -370. I did watch a bit of tape on Cavalcanti. Wasn't like blown away or anything, but Gumby will paint a clearer picture here, I'm sure.
What did you no? I want to hear a little bit about what you thought in the film that you saw on her. You said it didn't blow you away.
She looked all right. She's pretty big for the weight class. Decent fighter. I respect that she's an LFA champion. I guess it's more of the level of competition she's fought and stuff like that. So I was kind of surprised when I saw the line, but then Zara Farron is not exactly a super quality fighter and hasn't proven to be UFC caliber thus far. I guess it's mostly the level of competition that she fought. It kind of sloppy, not that great fights is my technical breakdown, even though she did fight Nora Cornole, who we're going to speak about soon.
I thought she looked so fast.
All right.
Yeah. From that standpoint, like she looks, you know, you're right. Maybe the level of competition she was fighting was a little slow and that made it look that way. But, you know, you were right. You know, she's very big. She's 5'9", which is quite tall for the weight class. She uses her length really well. And I wouldn't be surprised. I know we don't have reach stats on her, but I wouldn't be surprised to find her reach was significantly longer than 5'9". She's fighting Zarain, who, like, the only thing you could say about Zara Fern is, like, in most of the fights she's in, you're like, oh, she's bigger. And that's good. And this time she's not. No. And she's going to be slower, sloppier. You know, like, I don't mean that. I'm going to disparage some names who are going to catch crossfire here. And they don't deserve
always,
to.
Always.
They don't even deserve it. But like,
they're not even here.
Felicia Spencer outstruck her. Okay. Yeah. And I like Felicia Spencer's grappling game. I actually think Felicia Spencer's grappling game is very high level. But Felicia Spencer outstruck her on the feet, and she's a grappler who mostly retired because she couldn't keep up with the strikers. And now you're going to fight a striker? Like, Cavalcanti is going to rip her apart. This line's right where it should be. I'll think of some inventive way to bet this later on that's not laying -370 chalk. But, yeah, Cavalcanti is the pick here.
Short notice debut obviously is a bit of a concern, right? But I guess the talent level is just going to trump that, right?
Yeah, and I have to imagine, since it was a Haley Cowan fight, that every bantamweight in the world was preparing to be the replacement.
It's true. Throwing shade at the It Girl. The It Girl cannot stay healthy, though, Mr. White. So anyhow, all right, we are both taking Cavalcanti. I will go against the judgment of my stats, and I will take her as well, because obviously she must be way better than Farron. All right. who are we going to talk about next? Now that I think I've got the order correct, at least according to Typology, we're going to go down a weight class, well, down 5 pounds, and go to the male side, and we're going to go to bantamweights. Farid Basharat, Clayton Rodriguez, 135 pounds. I'm going to talk about Rodriguez first. KR is his nickname. So creative. I love it. It's initials. That's so great. He's 8-2, 4 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC. Won his last IBF TKO. Normally has fought at flyweight, or at least in the UFC. Is this his first bantamweight fight in the UFC? I think it is. Unless
I think something. I think it is, unless he took a short notice one somewhere right in there. Okay. Let's see. Ross was at flyweight. Vera was at flyweight. Curatolo is at flyweight. No, so he's only fought at flyweight so far.
All right, so he's moving on up. He was 1-0 on Contender Series. He was a Jungle Fight champion. He's got a good strike differential over his 3 fights that we got stats for, +3. So he outstrikes his opponents by 3 strikes per minute, which is very positive. He's at +275. Basharat Ferocious is the nickname. He's 10-0, 1 knockout, 5 submissions. He's 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series. He's fight at featherweight. 3 inches taller than Rodriguez, 4 inches reach on him, 2 years younger, better striking stats, better grappling stats, and he has outstruck his UFC opponents and Contender Series opponent by 3.37 strikes per minute. His real nickname is the lesser of the Basharat brothers, but nonetheless, we'll go with Ferocious. He's at -300. Give me Ferocious Basharat. We're going to be way bigger. Obviously, the stats show he's going to be bigger. Rodriguez is moving up here. Basharat, while he's not as good as his brother, he still, you know, has turned turn back every challenge that's been in front of him thus far. Like his wins, obviously better than Rodriguez's. He's got the striking, he's got the grappling, he's got the size, he's got the youth. He's got it all, so give me Basharat.
Yeah, this one's an easy one. And I'll just point to 2 things, too, because you mentioned that Farid Basharat has the better grappling stats, right, over Clayton Rodriguez. And the biggest thing I always say is you got to contextualize those stats.
Right.
Basharat's grappling stats come against Damon Blackshear, who's an excellent wrestler. Clayton Rodriguez has come against Shannon Ross and CJ Vergara. So, like, who's the better grappler stats-wise? The guy who's been fighting harder people? I think he's just going to take him down a bunch of times. We even saw some issues with Rodriguez's takedown defense on Contender Series. He fought that guy from Jersey. Who's the one for Jersey? Santo Curatolo. I'm going to go with Santo Curatolo. That's my final answer.
Locked in?
Yeah, I think that's who it is. It's the guy from New Jersey. He's like really stocky. But like he got a takedown on Rodriguez in that fight. And like that just shows me that Rodriguez is susceptible to getting taken down here. And against any of the Basharats, even the lesser of the Basharats, I think he just takes him down and holds him down.
More strays being caught, thanks to Gumby as well. That didn't go unnoticed by me. More fighters are catching strays.
Who caught strays here?
You mentioned a bunch of people. That
were Shannon talking. Ross. Shannon Ross caught a stray, but that dude just keeps getting knocked out.
Yeah, it's true. All right, let's go to the aforementioned Nora Conole, who did a very good interview with Pristine Wi-Fi. I only listened to it because it was mowing the lawn. Pristine Wi-Fi, Dan, her interview with you on Top Turtle.
When you sent me that message that she had really great Wi-Fi, did you mean that for real?
No, like, for real. It sounded great. No,
yeah,
it sounded
great. And she was doing that from the streets of Paris, too. Like, if you watch the video, which the video is up on cagesidepress.com, too, if you want to check that out, she's just walking the streets of Paris the whole time. Like she's like sits for a little bit, but for the most part, it's like her holding her phone and walking. And she got better service than anybody I've ever talked to in the United States. So props to her for giving me a good one.
She's a charming interview as well. Hopefully you can have her on again sometime.
She's kind of got a Amanda Ribas vibes, right?
Yeah, she very much a more under control, maybe a medicated Amanda Ribas.
there's your title, medicated Amanda Ribas.
Ritalin, perhaps. But the title was going to be "That's a crazy way to live your life," but maybe it would be medicated Amanda Ribas. All right, I'm typing it in, Dan. That's type of I get. Yeah, sometimes I find my old notes. I'm like, what the heck does that mean? There's some crazy things typed in there that we say in this year's show. All right, Conole is fighting Jocelyn Edwards at bantamweight, 3 5-minute rounds, and I'm going to break it down for you now. Conole first. She's 6-1, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. This is her UFC debut. She's won 6 straight fights, and I learned on Dan's show that she is a Muay Thai champion, correct?
That's correct.
All right. She's at plus 100. Even money. Nope, she's not fighting Reese McKee, right? No. Let's look at the other cell here. Edwards, she's fighting La Pantera. 13-4, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been submitted one time. 4-2 in the UFC. She's won 3 straight fights. She's missed weight twice, so keep that in mind. Fighters that miss weight tend to lose their fights, surprisingly. 38% win percentage over the past, however long this podcast has been going, 3 years, something like that. So keep that in mind. You may want to wait till Friday before you bet this fight. Edwards used to fight down at flyweight and up at featherweight. She's got multiple reaches championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get that shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. I was wearing it yesterday watching the fights, the Gumby God t-shirt I'm speaking of. She is 6 years younger than Cronole, inch of height, minus 110. Are you going to be a homer or are you not going to be a homer, Dan? Make your pick.
I'm going to go with Cornole.
He's a homer.
It's actually Cornole. You don't say the E on the end. So I'm going to go with
Cornole. You're telling me how to talk French. You're telling me how to talk French, Cormier.
I am, yeah. It's Cornole. Well, and it's if I'm not mistaken, it's also not a French last name. So,
that's right. Her dad's French, she said.
Oh, maybe you might be right.
Her mom's Algerian or Albanian? Algerian?
Algerian. You got it right. Yeah, her mom's Algerian.
Sorry, Ryan. Not Albanian. Algerian.
Yeah. Don't go there. So so I like Cornole in this one. And for me, it's a combination of things, but the biggest one being that just like, first of all, I think Joseline Edwards is going to have trouble with anybody who can like match her physicality, right? Like, she had trouble with Jesse Rose Clark because Jesse Rose Clark was too good in the clinch with her. She had tons of trouble with Carol Hosa. Sarah Alper out-grappled her, if you want to go back to her LFA days, like Sarah Alper. And like, you look at the people who she beat, like, you know, obviously she was faster than Ramona Pascual. She had a really tough time in the UFC. And then like Ji Hyeong Kim going up a weight class. You know, like that's not a great fight. And then Lucy Pudilova, who's also fought at 25. And of course, you know, Edwards missed weight for that anyway, and it was a split decision. But like, she just has trouble with people who can match her physicality. And while Cornole is, you got me saying Cornole. It's Cornole.
I'm the great Cornholio. Remember
that? Yes, I do. So like while she is known as a kickboxer and she is really good from range, if you watch a lot of her older fights, she's really good in the clinch and she does excellent work once she gets it to the mat. In fact, one of the ones I was watching back when she was fighting for UAE Warriors, she actually finishes from a mounted crucifix and dropping elbows. She got a finish from
that. I saw that fight.
Yeah, it's a sick one. Her work on the mat has been really, really impressive. And when you consider her only loss is Jackie Cavalcante in her pro MMA debut, like, I think she's got a lot of promise here. Of course, I'm worried about, you know, putting my, you know, throwing my hat in the ring on another female prospect because I've been burned by a lot of those lately. But what are we getting? Even money on her? Negative 110?
Yep. Even plus 100.
Plus 100. Even better. I'll take a dog here.
We are not getting even money, Dan, because I am taking Edwards. I mentioned I saw her fight. I've seen the level of competition she's fought, Dan. I saw her fight a 5-foot bantamweight who couldn't keep her breasts in her top the whole fight and was distracted the whole time.
Well, some people are going to want to know.
Of course, you want to watch it.
Some people are going to want to know which one that is for research purposes.
A Brazilian, D'Souza.
Priscilla D'Souza. Priscilla D'Souza.
Yeah. She's that's like 5 foot tall and she was distracted the whole time trying to keep her top on. And
that's the only one she didn't fight in UAE. Her other fights are in UAE Warriors, which are largely more competitive.
Anyway, I like Edwards' experience better, obviously. And she's way younger. And obviously I would prefer it if she would grapple, but she doesn't. So obviously it would be best if she could grapple a Muay Thai fighter. But I still like Edwards here, and I'm going to fade the female prospect, and we'll see. I wouldn't mind if she wins, though, because like I said, seems to have a good personality, and maybe she can come back on your show and not come back as a loser, right?
Yeah, she's delightful.
She's delightful, and you know what else is delightful? Underdog Fantasy, as well as my segues, are super delightful. August is almost over, and you know what that means. Time is running out. For you to draft your fantasy football team on Underdog Fantasy, get championship ready for your home league by trying out best ball on Underdog Fantasy. All you do is one live snake draft, no waivers, no trades. You set it, forget it, and Underdog does the rest. Try it out with Underdog's Best Ball Mania Tournament. the largest fantasy football contest of all time with $15 million of total prizes up for grabs. That even gets Gumby's interest, including an absurd $3 million going to the winner. Do you have what it takes to win? To win it all. The time is now. The last day to draft your fantasy football team is September the 7th. That's soon, people. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store and sign up with promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. You definitely, I'm going to Gumby for all my fantasy football questions this year. So go to Gumby, hit him up on socials and ask him all your questions. Do you have an underdog pick 'em that you like, Gumby?
I am back-to-back winners of my fantasy football league with my home friends. So yeah, I'm gonna brag about that for a second. No, underdog fantasy pick. Yeah, I would say I like James Conner to get higher than his projected rushing total.
Is that a football player?
It is, yeah.
He runs with the ball in his crook of his arm.
He rushes with it, yes.
He rushes. He doesn't just run, he rushes with it. He's in a hurry. All right, there you go. There's your pick, and you can get our underdog fantasy underdog pick'em MLB picks on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, especially starting in September. Gumby and I are going to go back and forth with our picks, right? We should see who's got the best picks.
Oh yeah, for September. I've gone 3 for 3 on three consecutive days. If you've been following on SGPN, nice. Yeah, with underdog
fantasy. Nice. What's your favorite kind of pick on underdog baseball? Do you do hits? Do you do pitcher?
I'm a total bases guy. Yeah. Right. Because
over one and a half or whatever, right?
Yes. A lot of times it's over one and a half. Sometimes you have to, the projection is set at 2.0, which is a little trickier. Like Adam Duvall today was set at 2.0. But like, yeah, no, I like the total bases one. Then you can grab a couple of singles or a double and get the job done.
Nice. All right. You know what else gets the job done is the SGP Patreon. Make sure that you check out our Patreon. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL Win at Totos contest with $1,000 first place prize. This week's Patreon pick'em is all week one college football. The Patreon is a great way to support the network and fight back against corporate gambling. And they have a video about how they started up the network. And I joined shortly thereafter. I've been, 3 years, I think, when the fabled Ryan McKee brought me on board, and I'm everyone's problem now. So you can blame McKee for hiring me originally to the SGPN family. And then I brought Gumby along as well. So there you go. You can blame him for everything. He's a reason that we're in your lives. So make sure you support us. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Do we have any other medicated Amanda Ribas is coming up? Let's see, shall we? This is a welterweight fight, Anja Lusa versus Reese McKee. We're getting a lot of fighters that you hear a lot about on Severe MMA, this fight card, Dan.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a European fight card.
Yep, and it's a very Cage Warriors heavy fight card too as well. All right, Reese McKee is Skeletor. Were you a He-Man and Masters of the Universe fan, Dan? Or was that before your time?
I wasn't, but I know who it is. Yeah.
Good, good. My brother was. I wasn't, but he had the one figure smelled like it was Skunk Man or something, and it stunk really bad. Swamp Man, yeah, I remember that. Not fun. All right. Does Reese McKee smell bad? No, he's Skeletor, so he's just really skinny. He's 13-4-1. 10 knockouts, 3 submissions, so he's finished everyone. He himself has been knocked out twice. He went 0-2 in the UFC, but that was a tough start. He was given Khamzat Chimaev when he used to fight still, and he was given Alex Morono. Were one of those short notice? Chimaev was, wasn't it?
The Chimaev one was they needed somebody to fight him on Fight Island after he won his first one, and he wanted another one.
Yeah. Yeah, so he had a rough go. All he did since then, when he won three straight fights and became the Cage Warriors champion, he's won 6 of 8. So his only losses have come in the UFC over his last 8 fights. On top of the Cage Warriors champion, he also was the Bama champion before in Britain. He used to fight at lightweight, 4 inches height, 4 inches reach, and he's 2 years younger than Lusa. He's based off of his 2 UFC fights, he was more active landing strikes than Lusa. However, he was outstruck in those fights by minus 5.07 strikes per minute. But that's going to happen when you fight Smesh. And he's at plus 152. The Last Ninja, Anj Lusa, 9-3, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC. Here's a pattern. We haven't done patterns for a while. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win. So that's over his last 6 fights. He won his last fight in August of 2022, so he's also been out for over a year. He's due for a loss. 0-1 in the Contender Series, used to fight at lightweight, 2013 MMA debut. Professionally, better grappling stats than McKee, but McKee, like I said, he got smished in his first fight. And Lusa has been outstruck by 1.23 strikes per minute over his UFC career, minus 165. I was thinking it's time to fade all the Cage Warriors people because they've really let us down, but I'm going with the dog here. I'm going with McKee. I think this is usually, they seem to give Cage Warriors guys really hard matchups right out the gate, which I guess is fitting because Cage Warriors has been a really good feeder league for them up to this point. But I think this is a good matchup for him. He's bigger. He's better. He's dangerous everywhere in the fight. I think he can take care of Lusa. So give me the dog money. I don't know. I was surprised to see it as a dog, but happily surprised.
Same. I'm going to go with Reese McKee as well. I think, you know, I've faded him a couple of times in Cage Warriors in a row with the idea that like he couldn't stuff a takedown and would wind up on his back. And he proved me wrong. He actually did a really good job of keeping his feet. And the other thing is like, first of all, I think he's going to be longer and sharper on the feet than Lusa is. I think that's just a fact. And then like the idea that Lusa might be able to like use a little bit of his grappling because like, you know, hey, he's used a little bit of grappling in the past, right? Like he got 2 takedowns when he beat AJ Fletcher. But like he didn't take down Mornir Lazez. And Mornir Lazez is like a kickboxer with like if we're being honest, pretty poor takedown defense. You know, he's been taken down by, you know, lesser guys than we've seen in the past. So like, I'm not sure that Lusa is actually good at takedowns more so than he's just like, you know, taking an advantage of like a really tired AJ Fletcher. And I think that if Mornir Lazez can stuff the takedowns and use his range, I think maybe Reese McKee can too. So yeah, I'm with you on this one. I like Reese McKee.
All right. Are you surprised that it's a dog as well?
I am a little bit just because of how good he looked in his last couple of Cage Warriors fights. And it's not like Anj Lusa has looked like a world beater or anything like that. So, I was a little bit surprised to see him in dog money.
Do you think the line might get steamed in his favor as we get closer?
You know what?
He seems to have a name, like at least in European circles. He has a bit of a noble name.
Yeah, but it posted a while ago and I really haven't seen much movement yet. You know, usually you'd see movement by now, right? In one way, shape, or form. But like,
yeah,
no, I guess so. I mean, like it says right here, he posted it plus 150 on DK, and he's gone up as high as plus 165. So actually, the money came in on Lusa, and it's come, you know, back down to plus 150. But like, you know, it seems like the money's coming in on Lusa.
Huh? Interesting. I guess our man Turnip hasn't put a buttload of money on McKee. That must be it. All righty. Let's move to bantamweights again. This is a bantamweight heavy card. This is on the male side. Taylor Lapolis versus Kellen Lochran. Another name that you hear a lot if you listen to Sphere MMA. Kellen Lochran is making his UFC debut here. He is the Don, and he's 8-0 with 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. is, like I said, this is his debut. He's another Cage Warriors champion. He's won 4 straight fights via knockout or TKO. He used to fight at featherweight. 4 years younger than Lapolis, plus 135. This is one of those fights that the, as Gumby told you off top, the just put together a couple of days ago. So it's short notice for both guys, technically. Lapolis, double impact, 18-3, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. Wait a minute, what does his nickname mean? Do we know about this nickname?
I don't.
I think you should find out.
It's, maybe it's a reference to his brother and him both fighting and kind of looking alike.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Or maybe it's he's well-rounded. He's got the knockouts, he's got the submissions.
Sure.
Or it probably has nothing to do with either of those things. So he was 3-1 in the UFC. Why did he leave? He didn't get cut, right?
I think it was a contract dispute, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay. Yeah, because he was on a nice roll there. Like I said, 3-1 in his first stint in the UFC, and then he left. This is his re-debut. He's won 5 straight fights and 8 of 9, won his last fight via TKO. He's got multiple retail championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get shirts, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at featherweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. One of those pro boxer, minus 155. Ippy you.
So you asked me if I was surprised about the Reese McKee line, and I was a little bit, but not terribly. This one I'm genuinely surprised on.
Me too.
Yeah. Lowrin, dude, I thought for sure he was going to come in here as a massive favorite. Because if you watch, you know, if you were paying attention to the lines before they ripped him out of that fight with, what was it, Giannis Gamori, he was like a negative 400 favorite against Gamori. So I was like, oh, you know, when they match up with Lapolis, he'll probably be a little bit closer of a fight. Gamori, you know, being a newcomer who doesn't have UFC experience, like the line will go down. I didn't expect to see him posted as an underdog. This really surprises me quite a bit. And from a stylistic standpoint, you know, like, Lapolis is a guy who's clearly got skills in just about every area that, you know, he needs. Like, he's good everywhere. But the thing about him is like, he's kind of got so takedown defense. Like, I do worry a little bit about that. Like, he was taken down in every single one of his UFC fights. And let me tell you something. The guys he was fighting in the UFC did not have good takedowns. You know, like, Olka Sasaki, Eric Perez, Leandro Issa. Like, these are jiu-jitsu guys without particularly good offense. And he spent a lot of time on his back. Now, I don't think Lowrin is going to spend a whole bunch of time shooting takedowns, but it's there if he needs it because he is pretty damn good on the mat. But the thing I like the best about him is his counters, man. Like, I was watching film on him because I'm not super familiar with him. You know, he's super heavy on his legs and he just counters so well and so powerfully. I think he's going to catch him a whole bunch of times here. So yeah, give me the dog money here on Lowrin. I can't believe I'm getting him at dog money.
I was going to pick Lapolis. Am I still going to pick him? It's the line that I'm not real impressed with Lowrin. He gets hit a lot. He kind of just stands there and trades, doesn't move a lot. Like you said, he's very heavy on his legs, but dog money though. And yeah. Lapolis isn't like he fought a killer's row of fighters in the UFC. Fine.
Demarte Pena is a good fight outside of the UFC, though. Demarte Pena was a nice win for him.
I'll take Lowrin just because the line. If the line was the other way around, I definitely would have taken Lapolis. So look at me playing lines.
I actually expected the line to be the other way around, and I was still on Lowrin. So.
Oh, okay. Fine. I don't know why I'm tailing Gumby is what I was trying to say, but I'm tailing Gumby. Main event of the prelims, Morgan Charrier versus Manola Zacchini, who you can hear on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. This is featherweight, if I didn't say that already. Zacchini, you didn't ask about his nickname, Dan. Why is his nickname a totally different name? Angelo Venziano is his name.
That means the Angel of Venice.
Oh, for real. It's a person's name, too. If you Google it's like a lawyer or something.
That just means the Angel of Venice.
Yeah, that makes
sense. And he's from Venice, and his gym that he trains out of that he owns himself too is called like Angel Gym or something like that. So like the nickname's pretty obvious. It's right there on the wall.
I thought he had a separate career like that other fighter that you enjoy who used to make movies. I thought he had a career like that. So anyhow. Zacchini, 11-3, 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He knocked out once, submitted once. This is his UFC debut. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 of 5. All 4 of those wins have come via finish. He's fought at lightweight, an inch taller than Charrier, plus 270. Charrier, the last pirate. So we have a last ninja, last pirate He's lost everything on this fight card. He's 18-9-1, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted once. This is his UFC debut. He's won 3 straight fights in 6 of 8. 2 straight fights he's won via knockout or TKO. He used to be a Cage Warriors champion as well. Was regional champion also, minus 300. It's me, Charrier, the Last Pirate, is my pick here. This one, basically one of my famous resume type picks. Did I watch Sakanini? I think I did watch Sakanini, but Charrier is still my pick.
Yeah, I like Charrier too. You know, he's in addition to being, you know, just like a more well-traveled person. And plus, he's the French Solomon Renfro, if you don't remember.
Oh, right. I heard about that, yes.
Yay, French Solomon Renfro. So I'm going to go French Solomon Renfro here because Zucchini is, look, he's like one of those dudes who's like super bouncy, but sometimes that, like, you know how when somebody is like bouncy because they're like trying to establish range, that's like good. But sometimes they're like bouncy just for fun and because they think it looks good and think it throws their opponents off. He's kind of the latter. Yeah,
you ever been on a trampoline? It's fun.
Yeah, he's kind of the trampoline type. And it seems to tire him too. And because he's constantly moving, I think it actually affects his own range. Because it seems like, especially early in fights, he's got a really bad sense of range. And also because he's so easy to time with that bouncing, you will notice that like he's kind of easy to take down. And I don't know that Charrier is going to go right to the takedown. You know, he's French Solomon Renfro. He's got punch of power and he's got wrestling. And sometimes he's got too much of both of them for his own damn good. But I think it's the perfect amount here for Zucchini. So I think he's going to shoot that takedown. If he doesn't, I still think he's got the better of the two in the hands. The only thing I will say I worry about a little bit here, Zucchini hits really hard and he's got really nice knees. So we'll like see, you know, you know, he's the type of person who could surprise Charrier. I might not throw him in a parlay, but I might look for like some props or something like that.
You can't surprise a pirate, Dan, especially the Last Pirate.
But
they're always on guard.
But my question is why is he the last one?
Because he killed all the rest of them. He's a savage. That's why Dana White signed him. Obviously, he only signed savages. Okay. It's great. It's great how he brags on Contender Series, how he knows nothing about any of these fighters.
Yeah,
that's another part. That's another pet peeve about the show.
I want to go in blind. Translation: yes. I'm way too lazy to watch these guys ahead of time.
Yeah. I'm too busy wasting money on blackjack. Yes. All right. Our picks for this event: Charrier, Loughran. I have McKee. Yeah, we both have McKee. Excuse me, McKee. He has Cornell. I have Edwards. You both have Basharat. We both have Cavalcante. Correct?
Yeah, it sounds right to me.
There's always one that we can't agree on. I guess that's good. We don't want to be just tailing one another. We'll be chasing after our tails like a dog. All right. Follow us into the Discord. That's where you can tail us into sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Come in there and have a chat with us and with all our friends. Say hi at the very least. You can hit us up on Twitter, X at SGPNMMA. Gumby will answer all your inquiries there. He's also at Gumby Reeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer on Twitter and on Instagram. What else can you do? We told you about Top Turtle. I think we didn't talk about all three interviews. So tell people the triple header you have on this week.
Yeah. So the aforementioned Nora Cornell is on the show. The aforementioned Manolo Zucchini is on the show. And then we're also talking to somebody who's going to be on week 5 of the Contender Series, whose name is Corinne Lafouamba.
She needs to have the Wi-Fi that Cornell has.
Yes, she had much worse Wi-Fi, and I will also say, surprisingly, a much thicker French accent.
She did. She was quite more French. There's another good title I could have used. And I have a Substack you can subscribe to, moneymma.substack.com. Why would you want to subscribe to that? Because there's pick 'em contests to play. There's fighter performance rankings I do. There's articles I write. There's podcasts I do. There's lots of good stuff. So check it out at the very least. If you think it's cool, then subscribe. And obviously go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and our Patreon. Support us so we can crush corporate gambling and all that good stuff. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. It will be the last Fox, Jeff Fox, and the last Gumby Reeland. We'll talk to you then. Bye.